The Udiville team would like to thank Community Access Media, the Atocalypse Food Truck, Palermo Realty, our Patreon subscribers, and all of our listeners for their support and contributions. We love you, Erie.
Idiotville is a mature podcast. We sometimes touch on adult themes and use adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, idiots. It's Idiotville 211. I am your host, Dill Spears, in the studio with our Russian spy, Anna Hartvigsen.
I'm back.
And Brent N. Liberty.
The N stands for Nordic Track. I'm fat. I need to do one of those fucking things. I'm going to pay them, you know, $39 a month for 38 months, and I'm going to get ripped like that sexy motherfucker they always have on the commercial.
Right. I gotcha. We're joined in the studio by the co-creator of an independent comic called Avalon, Brandon Starocki.
Yep.
And you told me, and I almost did it wrong anyway. you have one issue out already?
One issue out already, and we have a live Kickstarter for issue two that ends, I think, August 5th is what the date is.
Yeah, and you can go to, and I'm going to get this right up front, you can go to Kickstarter.com. And I'll tweet out a link to it.
Yeah. Do you search for Avalon Comic? Is that how it works? Or
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't. I usually just post a link for people to just go right to the thing. I would imagine that's how it works for Kickstarter. Like if you go on Kickstarter itself to kind of just search it. But
Yeah, it's Avalon 2, Enter into a New Pandemic. And Brandon, you are collaborating with a couple of other people on this.
Yes.
Who are your co-creators?
So I got me, Alan Dingfelder, which is a co-writer, and Demetrios Nastos, which is the artist. He's a gentleman that lives in Greece, actually. I found him on Instagram and all that stuff. I have a couple other people that want to be ghost editors. They don't want their name public, so I would love to give them the credit where it's due, but they do a phenomenal job. So I surround myself with a good team that kind of make sure I stay on the tracks and don't go too wild with things, because I do have a lot of wild ideas.
But the nice thing is about a creator-owned property is you can basically go anywhere you want to. Yeah. That's
I love the freedom of that, by the way.
Yeah. Us not being tied to a corporation here gives us the freedom to do literally whatever we want to. Yep. If we have a project and we start it and like, this is great, and then it just spectacularly fails to materialize, I'm like, well, that's in the trash. Let's move on to something else.
Right.
But I do see the art in this is amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of the story yet, but I did see a bunch of the pages that you have on the Kickstarter, and it's all black and white, which is it's very evocative of The Walking Dead, and I do see that Walking Dead was one of your influences.
Yes.
With this, and you told me before the show that you're a big fan of that work.
Yes.
And how did that influence you?
So it influenced me in a lot of different ways, because the black and white, it was always something. So I don't want to sound like too like I had a cool idea with it and trying to like copy something or move it, but most of it was to save money, because black and white is a little bit cheaper than color. So to tell you too, the pages on the Kickstarter are just in black and white. That's just the inking stage. There's a color stage as well that I put in the updates of the Kickstarter. So it has like its gray tone, it has shading and all that stuff as well. But it also, for 1 through 23 have black, white, and blood. And the last page is in full color. And The reason we did that is I think it's kind of unique. I haven't seen a comic that shows, it does that kind of structure where it's like,
it was like a progression.
Yeah, that's and then really it kind of punches you in the face when you turn that last page and you see it. And mindset for it is to show the readers where our heads are at for it and all that stuff. And I've heard from a bunch of other people in the past, like reviewing it and, giving their opinions on it, that the black and white is done perfectly by the artist, because it kind of keeps you in that suspenseful kind of like horror noir kind of feeling as well. It puts you in that moment a lot better than I think maybe the color would.
Now, were you a horror movie fan as a kid?
Okay. Still am. I actually just, we actually, just really started going like hard on our Twitter recently. I never was like a Twitter guy. I didn't know how to do it. So we just started kind of doing that. And I followed a lot of horror things. I'm a big, I see it constantly now and I love it. I'm a big horror guy.
We actually have a guy, as part of Idiotville Productions, who really? Does a horror movie. Yeah,
Shaggy's House of Horrors. Check it out.
Yes.
But so you do anything with Horror Fest at all?
Yeah, actually, I just because they just started promoting their vendors and all that stuff. I just reached out to them to sign up. I guess what they're doing is setting up like a first come first serve kind of vendor booth. So I just emailed them. So I'm hoping they said they'd give us the answer by the end of August or the end of July, one of those. I can't remember. But yeah, we're hoping to go there and be a vendor and be a part of that as well.
Yeah, that's we're gonna
be. Yeah, I was about to say it's probably a good time to announce that we will be appearing live at the Erie Horror Fest this year.
That's awesome.
It's gonna be really cool, and I can't wait to see. I love getting into those events, meeting these different people that do all these cool things, and the creativity and everything like that. And it's gonna be at the Warner this year. I think that's awesome.
And they're revamping that, right? They've really been going hard. Are they still working on it?
Or not?
They wrapped it up.
They wrapped it up.
And I haven't been in there since they wrapped it up. So I can't wait to be just a part of something that I think is really cool that we have here in Erie. And I am definitely hoping to see a nice Avalon booth there because...
Yeah. So am I. I'm still waiting for the confirmation. Like, okay, yeah, it's yours, you know, and then all that stuff. But yeah.
Keep in with us.
Yeah, yeah. If not, then we're going in with you guys. Yeah, but no, it would be a cool thing because I've heard about the Horror Fest from people in my family that are big horror fans as well. And I've never been to one either. So I think this would be an awesome kind of exposure to show our project and to kind of be there for the first time and see what it's all about as well.
So as far as your horror movie influence, you're more of a do you have like a particular genre of horror that you like? Is there like a subset that you really get into, or are you just like, I can watch something that's suspenseful and terrifying and I can watch just gore fest?
It's more just like, yeah, that, like where I can just kind of watch anything. There are some corny ones that I can't think of off the top of my head, like that I don't really care for, but I'll give it a shot and all that stuff. But mostly if it just has that suspenseful kind of gore or like a horror kind of mentality and all that stuff, I try to watch it when I can and all that stuff. But I like all that stuff, like, you know, obviously like Michael Myers, a bit of Screams and all that stuff, the obvious ones, but yeah, it's just kind of generic in what I go into.
I just want to take it back because you can't tell, yeah, if you can't tell here, if the listeners can't tell, Dill's excited about this.
I am so excited to have a local creator who is doing comics.
Yeah, it's like just, yes. I knew he was going to be hot out the gate. I'm just like, I'm just going to let Dill eat
just
here.
Just going to be like standing back.
But I want to take it back, Askosh. Give us a little background. You know, you're from this area?
Yes, I live in Erie and I was born in Erie and all that stuff. So I've been here my whole life.
How did you, like, I feel like, you know, I grew up like, oh, the X-Men comic was out. And a lot of kids do that. And then like, oh, I'd love to do that. But very few actually go ahead and make it a thing. How did you get there?
So the funny thing is I wasn't really a big comic guy and I wasn't really in the community way back when I was young and all that stuff. This is actually more new to me than it was for most people, because I've talked to people in the past where they say that I've heard them say before, I was born with like a comic in my hand. Every moment is a comic moment and all that stuff. Raising your hand over there. I've been a big fan of The Walking Dead. I didn't know about The Walking Dead until like two seasons into the show, the comic version. So I bought it and I really started liking that. That opened the gate. I like your traditional Batmans and, you know, big heroes like that. So I kind of got into it more and more as I started writing myself. You know what I mean? And especially this last year when I've been talking to the community and all that stuff that's involved in comics and all that stuff and love comics, I love it more and more and more. And I hate that it's actually becoming like the cool thing now to be like a comic nerd. I wish I was like part of that community when it was like, just, you're a comic nerd and you're a comic nerd. Leave it at that. I don't like how it's becoming like cool now to be a comic nerd.
You know, I actually have a comment on that because I see what you're talking about. Like, I'm a huge, and people who listen have probably heard enough references to know I'm a huge Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Okay.
And you know, what does anybody here know about them? They're freaking terrible.
Yeah.
Always. They suck. But so in the middle of the last decade, they had this hot run where they made the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there'd just be these people you never heard of talking about and be like, that's my squad, the Pirates. And like the, us, like a lot of like the huge nerds that were into it, watching them when they're like this, we're like, where the hell were you before?
Yeah.
And I would just kind of be like, I get that. But at the same time, we need these fair weather fans if we want our what we're doing to really get off the ground.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a kind of a double-edged sword there with that. But it just I really do wish I had like I was molded in like the community when it was not cool. I like that. I like the history behind the whole comic kind of nerd like thing going up and all that stuff. I think the new people now, because the blockbuster films and all that stuff, it just draws more attention. It draws these, like you said, like, oh, this the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, so now I'm a Seahawks fan kind of thing, where it's just like it's I feel like if I don't know if it annoys you guys, but I feel like if I were in your shoes, I would be annoyed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
I am as a comics fan, the more people that read comics, I think is better. Like, yes, the movies are awesome and it was a great way to bring people into the comics world. Walking Dead was this phenomenon. Like, Image Comics was dying. Mm-hmm. And then Robert Kirkman came and said, I want to do this comic where it's a zombie apocalypse. And he actually lied to the publisher about what the reason for the zombie apocalypse was. He actually said, it's going to be an alien invasion and we're going to reveal that in like the third story arc. And I'll put these little Easter eggs in throughout the first couple of story arcs. They get through like the middle of the first one. The publisher's like, there's nothing here. And he's like, yeah, I lied.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I saw that. That was hilarious when I saw that and he was saying that.
They made him a partner in Image Comics.
Yeah.
Which is, they hadn't done that to anybody. And they let him be a partner because he kept Image afloat.
The way I see it is, and I mean, I've been through this with different fandoms and different things that, you know, I've created and been a part of. I would keep the door open and see if people don't be the gatekeeper and see if people want to find more. And if they find more and they like what you are, you have an ally who's in it for the right reasons now and not because it's on the bandwagon. If they drop the hell off their bandwagon, you didn't give a shit about them anyway.
Right.
That's the way I would look at it. Like some, like just because like with you, you know, it's like you found your awareness to it in a real, yeah, in a way that a lot of people do. But now you're like real that person. That can be somebody else. And it's not going to be everybody who's jumping on that bandwagon. But there are some that are jumping on that bandwagon because they found it because they like Tony Stark on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're in. And I think that the key there is finding those and cultivating those kind of relationships to build the culture the correct way.
No, that's a good point. It definitely makes more sense to me because, like I said, like every time I've heard and talked to people in the past about this all this stuff is you got these bandwagon people that kind of jump on it. But that's a good approach to kind of look at it, like, because I wasn't one of those people, and obviously I would love to be almost a part of it or into the community more like how you guys were and all that stuff. But I don't have that history and I don't have that knowledge really right now either. But I definitely feel that in the last year, ever since we went public with Avalon and started promoting it and started talking to the community and all that stuff and actually doing events like signings at places and meeting people, it definitely was a cool exposure to the community. And we definitely enjoy every second we get to do that and all that stuff and meet everybody that's in love with the comic world and all that stuff. So it'd be nice to be like part of that in like how you're saying though too, like grabbing and making and being a part of the whole world.
I mean, everybody like has to start somewhere too. I think keeping that in mind, you know, you can look at, I think had a discussion about this and gatekeeping is the word that kept coming to my mind too. But you know, it's like shitting on somebody because they're new to something and some people aren't going to stick around, but some people are going to find like a passion out of it. And so like trying to facilitate, like you said, those relationships. And
yeah, it feels geeky. I'm going back to sports on this, but I love soccer, as you guys know. And I bore them with it. I'm like, oh my God, did you see this signing? Because it's huge international news. And they're like, I don't give the slightest hint of a fuck about this.
Here's here's my take on that real quick. I know exactly what he's talking about, but it's much more fun to give him shit about it. It's like the shit that he gives me when I talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, because I'm a big wrestling fan, but I'm a bigger comic fan.
Yeah.
Name Artist City. That's all I'm going to say. But you know how I got into it?
Huh.
In college, we bought a FIFA game, and I got pretty good at just fucking around on it and playing. And so everybody wanted to be Manchester United because they're the best team.
Yeah.
So I picked the other Manchester team because they were shitty and I could beat them with it and flex it. And then they started showing it on TV. And I'm like, well, I got to like the shitty Manchester team. And now they're the best team in the world.
Oh,
so, people are like, oh, you jumped on the Manchester.
So like it could be something dumb like that.
Yeah, well,
and I still get shit like, where were you in 1960? And I'm like, in my 5-year-old dad's balls is where I was.
Like, floating around, yeah. Oh, I get it.
Preborn.
Yeah. So, well, it doesn't change the fact that I love it, you know?
Yeah.
So you have a lot of media influences as far as your creation goes. And did this pop out of you like fully formed, or did you and your writing partner kind of have to sit down and hash things out? Is there a way that you guys kind of put it together, or was it like, I have this incredible idea for this thing and I want to do it like this?
So basically when we were talking back, I think before the show even started, it was like the idea kind of stemmed like around senior year in high school and all that stuff. So it kind of brewed up there. I didn't know what to do with it. I was young, you know. I'm a big movie guy in itself. So I actually went to New York Film Academy to tour it and all that stuff, and then figured out it was way too expensive. There's no way I'm going to be able to afford that. So I came back to Erie and got like a normal job. It's something to kind of keep, you know, pay the bills. And then I met Alan and all that stuff. So I kind of hit him with it because he wants to start his own project back up. He had projects in the past that he did and kind of died off, and then he's doing it again. And we kind of were doing this thing, and then I told him that I had this idea, and then we kind of collaborated and all that stuff. He kind of let me do my thing, and he was more like making sure all of it is hitting like this tempo and making sure like this is good, this is bad, we need to get rid of that and all that stuff. So that was his role in the beginning stages, and then we kind of really started fleshing out what we got up is 6 issues written completely that are done, and he had a major role in kind of making sure things stayed on the tracks, basically.
All right, I think that's a great place for us to take a little break. We're going to go ahead and do the Autocalypse Food Truck
beer segment.
And we're going to throw in some advertising. And we have a couple other things we want to address when we get back. And then we're going to talk more with Brandon about Avalon. And we will be right back.
Hey, Erie. Where do you get your tacos? Listen in every week to Idiotville Podcast. And play our game. Where's the Conquistador? Only on Idiotville Podcast.
You know what it's time for? The Autocalypse Food Truck beer segment.
Segment.
I was waiting for the echoes. Thank you. So, Brent, what did you bring us this week?
I figured that we'd support our good friends. We don't go over there as much anymore now since we record on Saturdays, and I miss them. It's a great place over at next door at Lavery. And so we still want to say, Jason, all the guys, Logan, everybody over there, we still love you. We just, schedules don't work sometimes. So we got Dragon of Steel Island from Lavery Brewing Company. If you haven't heard, we're fans of what they do and who they are. So.
I think we did this in the past, way back.
Maybe.
So this is kind of a...
I want to do Mosaic Mango because I heard it's good this year.
Oh, I hope so. Well, we'll have to grab some. Yeah. So let's pass them out.
First beer?
Thank you.
What's that?
Is that your first beer?
I was trying to do it one-handed.
Yeah, well, you didn't.
Well, it's because you grabbed the four-pack, jerk.
Because you were not doing it correctly.
All right. Well, let me
cracking it first.
But let me read it here. It's Dragon of Steel Island. It's a 6.9% ABV IPA. Let's see. It is brewed with Slovenian dragon hops. I like their new cans. I like the new logo on the Lavery cans and the little brand stamp they have here.
Yeah, I like the colors on this. It's kind of muted, but
it's okay. I'm liking the new art. It's a little different than what we're used to from Lavery, and there's no blurb. I'm disappointed by the lack of a blurb. So let me go to Untappd and see what we've got.
All right, I just need my keys. Punch a hole in the bottom of it.
It's not shotgun of steel.
It's however the heck I want to consume it. I see. I'm getting better. I'm trying.
Are. Look at you.
Trying. Oh, my God. I missed good beer.
Yeah, that's really good.
Oh, man.
All right, let's see.
All right. So the style guide for this featuring Styrian dragon hops from Slovenia, accompanied by large amounts of Eldorado, Citra, and Mosaic hops, and softened by the addition of flaked wheat and oats. Super light mouthfeel, bursting with notes of lychee, berries, roses, and tropical fruit. The
taste, this is some pretentious shit.
Yeah, it is. And then the
yeah, there we go.
The tastes are hoppy, citrus, smooth, hazy, and slick.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Total of 380 reviews, and it's getting 3.98.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
That's good.
So let's see.
Do you remember when we had a couple weeks ago, we had a beer and we were like, it's good, but we just want like more out of it. And like, mm-hmm. I feel like that is this.
100%. Yes.
This.
Yeah. So DK says, here for the weekend. 3.5.
Welcome to Erie.
Yes.
We're glad to have you.
Let's see.
You should check out one of our water slides.
Just one of them.
Yes. You can take the pirate ship over. We do it all here.
GS says, cheers, stranger. Solid. 4.1.
I appreciate that. Cheers to you too, stranger.
Oh, I need something ridiculous. Like the comments in Untappd have not been great. Orange and citrus profile, decent but not great, 3.75. David B. says, halfy, 4.25.
Is that what? Good? Is that slang I don't know? Is that something the kids are saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that something that I'm going to be made fun of on TikTok later for not understanding what
yes.
it means? Yeah, damn it.
Charlie B. says,
well, I'm 40. I'm not going to know it all, okay? Right.
You're a man.
Yeah.
You're 40. Charlie B. says, very nice. Thumbs up. 4.
Thanks, Charlie B.
Yeah. I mean, these are...
lots of short comments.
These are the weakest comments. Like,
but at least there's comments.
Theory, you need to do better in your comments.
Right.
I mean, that one guy was just visiting for the weekend, and he had the best comment.
Steve G. says, from car repair earlier. 4.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't know. Greg W. says, not real hazy, not real clear. Tastes juicy, though. 4. Like, it's a lot of 4s for this. And I think, from my recollections, 4 was right around where I had it. So,
I just we've been trying so many, like, summary things. I just wanted a good beer today.
Oh, yeah, that makes me feel again.
Yeah, right? You just realize, like, man, I've been missing this.
I've been missing the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, boy. I don't think they've ever made an IPA that I don't like.
It's because it's good body to it, and it's smooth, which, you know, I like that. That's my thing.
It's got a
while still getting it.
It's got a good mouthfeel, and it's slick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does our guest think? Introduce yourself, my friend.
Hi. Well, I'm Brandon Starocki, and I'm the creator / writer of Avalon.
Tell us a little bit about Avalon.
Avalon is a post-apocalyptic storyline that you're going to be following family by the last name of Castle, and it's kind of like dysfunctional families that, you know, it's right before the apocalypse, so you're not getting this, you know, thing after the apocalypse. You're already, this family's already kind of hating each other before it even starts and all that stuff. So at the stem of all of it is three brothers, and they have a fractured bond between each other. One of the brothers isn't around so much anymore, you come to find reading issue 1, and it gets explained further on in the story. So then you get hit with this apocalypse, so it's like you can't just ignore your family. You know how like you can nowadays with, you know, just being normal and normal day to day stuff. You can't just ignore them for a month or whatever and then finally talk to them. But now they're being forced to deal with their issues that they've had in the past and all that stuff. So it's kind of upbringing, and on top of it, dealing with an apocalypse, it's kind of punching them in the face.
Exploring family dynamics during the apocalypse. Now, that's the kind of comic that I want to check out, actually. I like that idea. So I'm assuming, since it's right before the apocalypse and people hate each other, this is a present-day novel, right?
Yes.
So what do you think of the beer?
So what I think of the beer is this. The beer is good for what it is. I'm a very standard person. So if this was standing next to like a Miller Lite, I'd probably grab the Miller Lite. I'm not a big like...
Craft beer
guy. And there's very limited craft beers that I like. I like just the natural, like just beer. You know, there's no real...
Natural Light?
No, not Natural Light, because isn't old that German? Like piss beer or something?
I love Old German. I don't care. You know what? I need to get, if I can find some Old German, we are doing it on the show. I'm going back to college, baby. We're doing some Old German.
See, that would probably be something, right? That's just like a standard kind of beer, right? There's no like real crazy flavors in it.
Yeah, we're playing Flip Cup on this thing.
All that stuff.
Yeah. Set up a beer pong in the studio.
Just inviting people in the, Jungle Juice in the corner.
So what's a standard rating, you said? What's like an average? Like, it's good, but I wouldn't like...
An average is 2.5, and then anything above that, like... I'm like a Miller Lite would very much be a 2.5.
Okay. So, so if a Miller Lite is a 2.5, and it's not that I don't like this beer. I just, if Miller Lite and that was sticking together, I wouldn't.
Do you not normally drink craft beers because you find you just don't like them typically?
Probably that. So I don't think my opinion really matters at this point.
You can
just get rid of my opinion if you want. Yeah. I would just say just a notch or two under the Miller Lite. I would just say like a 2.3 or something like that. Just because I'm not a big craft beer person in itself. So.
Okay. So yeah, you can give us like a qualified for people who aren't craft beer drinkers. This is probably not something they're going
to
like.
Definitely. I mean, if you are willing to try it, it's not like I'm like repulsed by it. I'm not like cringing as I'm drinking. I can definitely get it down. It's not something I'm like, holy shit, this sucks. But if you're just not a craft beer person, then that would be my opinion. Yeah.
Okay. So Anna, how about you?
I like this a lot.
Yeah.
I like this a lot. I'm going to give this a 4.25.
Okay.
I think is where I'm going to fall. It's very smooth. It's got good flavor, but it's not overbearing. I don't know. It's like this fine line between like it's light, but it's flavorful. And it's like just the amount, just the right amount of both.
It's not going to slap you in the face with the hops.
Yeah. But like there's enough there that you're not looking for more.
Right. Either.
And it's really smooth.
Okay. Brent?
That's the one thing I noticed. It's very smooth. We have a pretty cool can. It's minimalist while still giving you a cool little design. I love that. You know I love that. It's 6.9%, so you can't just sit and pound them all day. But one is,
Well, you can.
Yeah, that's a problem. You can.
Oh, no, that is. I'm already like halfway done. I want another one. This is the problem that I'm having. It's super smooth. And it gives you enough of the bitterness and the taste to let you know it's there. It doesn't try to overpower it. It doesn't burn your palate. I'm a big fan of this one.
Okay.
I am. I think it's, if we're judging it off of Dulacan, I think it's better than Dulacan.
Okay.
I'm going to go. Oh, God, I miss this beer. It's just so good.
Yeah. To say really, really. You guys have basically said everything that I wanted to. This is not a first time drinking craft beer kind of beer. There's really good flavor on the front end, and then you get that little like zip at the back as you
holds up throughout. It's a consistent throughout too. That's another thing I like. We always have to talk about that. And I'm just gonna tell you, Brandon, as well, before he judges this, how I got into like craft beers?
How's that?
I've probably talked about this on this before, but it's a good way to explain to somebody who doesn't really go into this. I went to my buddy Chuck took me up to was it the first You Pick Six, the one that's up there by like what is it? Golden Corral and shit. And I was just, of course, I was, just grabbing like Labatt and Miller Lite and stuff like that. And he's just like, here, I'm going to pay for it. You're grabbing one of these good ones. Just sit here and drink it. I'm like, oh my God, this is what you drink? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
He's like, finish it. And when you finish it, I will buy you anything you want. I'm like, okay. So I sat there and sipped it. And I was like, okay, yeah. It's grown on me a little bit.
Yeah.
Then he's like, all right, what do you want? I'm like, oh, I'll take a Labatt Blue. And he's like, and I drank that. He's just like, well, now since you have the other one in there and then you're tasting this, what do you want next? I'm like, oh, you're absolutely right. We're going to get another one of those. Because it's just, a lot of it is acquired and it's through that. And I know we sound far more pretentious doing this than we used to.
Yeah, sure, right.
Well, like when we first started doing this, it was more like, this beer is pretty good. I'm going to give it a 4. And then you do this every week for years, and you really start to pick up on those notes and stuff like that.
Because when I started, I mean, not that I was like anti craft beer, but I wasn't like super into it, I guess. So really, like the last year with you guys, I've really like, I would have been there a year ago, would have been like, okay, yeah, this is like good.
It is what it is, right? Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh my god, the notes of this, and like, so yeah, like, really diving in.
If our guy Marty was here, he would, without looking, be able to tell you what hops are in it. Like, dude really? Has the Damn. Most sophisticated beer palate.
Yeah, it's absurd. He's like, there's Mosaic in here, isn't there? And he'd be like,
Yeah.
He'd be like, I'm sensing Citra, Mosaic, little of the El Dorado, and no, he's
I love the Firestorm of El Dorado.
Yes.
Which is still my nickname, by the way.
The Firestorm of El Dorado. Yeah. Yes. But I also will give this a 4.25. I just think that this is one of the best beers they make. This is right up there for me with Dulacan and with Balaclava.
Yeah, you know, Balaclava, I love Balaclava that. Is, and I love the Mosaic Mango.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that the Mosaic Mango is back and good this year.
Man, I might just run over there after we record. You know, I might
grab one myself.
Oh, man, I have those little, I have like free drinks in my at my house.
I do too.
Damn it.
I have the little.
That's all right. I'll pay. It's okay. I'll give them their money.
I have the little tokens in my car.
Yeah.
So.
Well, once I bought that new car, I took all the tokens I had out of my car and put them in my house, and they haven't found their way back to my car yet.
So you didn't get like a little trash bag and make like the junk bag to make sure that you put all the junk that you don't need back into your new car?
I mean, this was in like, you know, the little like where the ashtray used to be when we were kids.
Yeah.
It was in that little center console thing. And it was just a bunch of sticky pennies in that.
Yeah. Also, no, you don't move the junk. You let your new car get dirty on its own accord, all right?
I've been doing really good with this, right. By the way. If there's something, I throw it out. My old car, when I was in sales, it would just be a disaster all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like I have five kids.
So they're going to do one of those YouTube videos where they detail the most disgusting car I've ever seen.
One time, my mother-in-law was in the back seat with my son, and he dropped something, and she said, "Where did it go?" And he said, "It's on the floor next to the French fry."
I'm sure with my car, when I traded it in, they just set it on fire in the back.
Yeah, they're like, let's just fumigate. So this one's going to give us, it's going to be a 4.25 overall, because Brandon, I am in fact going to throw out your
ranking. You're going to throw out my ranking. That's right, fine. No, right. It's respectable.
Yeah. It's like throwing out the French judge.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The Russian that gave me one.
The East German back in the day.
Yes. Yes. So, we have a very important game that we have to play now. You know what that game is?
Mumbly Peg?
No, we're not going to do that.
I would definitely cut my finger off, so good.
All right. We're going to play
Where's the Conquistador?
In Where's the Conquistador, we let you know where the Conquistador is with the Autocalypse food truck, because he's our sponsor and he pays us to do that.
Yes. So, and we appreciate
it. We just want you to know where he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that, and I mean, there's general like concern. Like, where is he? Is he okay? We like him.
And he's generally okay. He's just slinging tacos.
Yeah. No, he's more than okay, because he is at the softball tourney, the Harbor Creek Fields.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
He's there today and tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a great place for that. You get to go down there, and as a fat guy, I know how great it is to see fat guys crush homers and then eat tacos. You got that.
Oh, and we had a discussion about the fat guy softball players.
Fat guy softball players are great. Because the best ones are those ones that are a little beefy, where you can tell they used to be ripped and it sort of went away.
Yeah, because they drank a lot of beer while they were playing softball, and then they hit a home run that goes like 600 feet.
Yeah, and they're always wearing like the baseball pants that are like a little too official.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't just get those ones at those sliding pants at like Dick's. Like, no, these were like special order for some traveling team they played for.
Yeah, and then they have the Oakleys.
Oh, they always have the Oakleys
with the band on the back, so they don't go flying off.
Yeah, if it's a little cloudy like it is today, they're gonna turn those Oakleys around, little Guy Fieri style, put them on the back of their head.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are really legends of our time. And that's what I love about slow pitch softball. As a fat guy, it's great to know there's a sport out there where other fat guys can excel.
Excel. Not just succeed.
Excel.
Like excel.
Like, yeah, oh yeah. Shit, he's fat. We better back up. Yeah. I like that.
Let's move him out. Move him out.
Yeah. So that's what I want to see. Well, no, that's great. I'm just saying you should go anyway just to see mountains of fat men just crushing massive homers. And then you eat amazing tacos. And you can do that for 3 days. It started yesterday. It's today. It's tomorrow. So there's no excuse for you missing just this wild three-ring circus.
Yes. And there's nothing. Have you, Brandon, have you ever had anything from Metalocalypse?
No, I have not. I was actually going to ask you how good it is.
It changed my life. I mean,
yeah, really? Literally the best tacos I have ever had.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely going to have to go there and get his information because I'm going to have to go there either today or tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
It's absolutely worth it. And he is always at breweries and just all over. He'll be at Black Monk. He'll be at Erie Ale Works. He'll be, mm-hmm. you know, wherever there is good beer being slung, there will also be amazing tacos being served up.
Or today. And it's another good thing for you, Brandon, because, you know, like, I'm not drinking this. I played some softball. I know you're like in that body. Believe it or not, I did. Seriously.
I believe.
I bet you do.
I have no choice.
I bet you do.
Until his trick ankle.
Yeah. My little baby ankle here. Yeah, I slid into a base and my shin made it before my ankle.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
But neither here nor there.
Yes.
When we would go to those tournaments, there was never a taco truck. But we always had that cooler of like Miller Lite or something like that, because you don't drink this there. You're having a bad tournament if you're pounding a bunch of these.
Right.
No, yeah, I'd probably shit my pants if I drank those at a tournament.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. I mean, even if you're at a tournament, you don't want, because especially like if it's a 5-alarm shit emergency, there's probably a blue porta potty you have to go to.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to go into
a porta potty. No, nobody. I couldn't. Yeah, nobody wants to dump in a porta potty. No, I'll tell you that. Yeah,
that at least.
I'll stand by that little urinal. It's whatever. Yeah. I don't have to touch anything, but my ass will not hit that seat.
I always feel like there's going to be like some creature that's going to just grab me from the inside of that.
Okay, I'm confused.
We've had to take a shit at one point or another in the blue porta potty, you know. Yes. But so when you sit on it, you're like, I feel like I'm going to get grabbed and sucked into that shit pile, and I don't want that.
No,
I actually watched a movie about this yesterday. Like, I'm not even kidding.
What movie is that?
It was I don't remember. It had like Ken Marino in it, and who else? The guy Putty from Seinfeld, Patrick Warburton.
Oh, and very obviously the guy from the Police Academy movies.
He was not in it. No. Who else? Stephen Root from Office Space. The
red stapler guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was about this guy who they thought he had a polyp inside. Yeah. In his like intestines. And it ended up being this creature that would come out and like, if he was really stressed out, it would climb out of his ass and go and kill people.
So it was like a poop Hulk.
Yeah, well, it was kind of like, it was almost like a gremlin if it was shaved.
Okay.
So, and he named it Milo.
Milo.
So, Milo the shit gremlin?
Yeah, so actually what you're saying, and in one scene, he did have to shit into an outhouse and Milo came back up out of it.
Maybe
so this was very apt as to what I watched yesterday.
Oh my God.
That's great. Is it newer or older? Or what is
it? I mean, it seems to be somewhat newer, at least.
Yeah, new movies are kind of like that are kind of, they come out now, those weird movies.
Yeah. It's like one of those, hey, they're streaming options, so we can get weird with it. It was on HBO Max. So.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
there's other places where the Keystador is.
Let's figure out where else Chris is going to be. So pays us in full this week.
Okay, on the 20th, he's going to be back down at the Sunset Series, you know, Beach 11. That's always cool. You know, good vibes. You can watch Rick McGee and the Roadhouse Rockers or the Earthquakers, or one of those bands that have played around here for my entire life, which is a great time. They wouldn't keep doing it if people didn't enjoy it. And I always support people living their best life. And if you're going to live your best life and you're going to be on the beach, listen to others living their best life, you augment that with some freaking tacos, which you can do on July 20th. And then if you're just like, I liked the Sunset Series, but it didn't have enough drugs for me. Oh, we got you there too, because on the 22nd and 23rd, he's going to be at the Gathering at Chafee's. So that's living your best life with MDMA. And that sounds like a good afternoon.
It really, really does. I am trying to find the name of that movie.
What a lineup. What a lineup for him. Like, there's just so many places to just like get inebriated and act like an ass and eat a taco. And like, that's the best.
I'm a big taco guy, and I'm convinced he's got a new customer right here. I just got to find him. And obviously you got it right there. So,
and make sure when you do, you say Conquistador.
Conquistador. Every time I get the taco?
Yeah.
Just look at him and be like, it's the Conquistador.
Yeah, and then ask for that sweet Mexican applesauce. He'll know.
Okay.
Yes, and you'll know after you eat the sweet Mexican applesauce.
That it's going to kill me or?
No, that it's fucking amazing.
Okay, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's guacamole is the greatest thing you'll ever eat.
I just don't want to shit out a bold gremlin.
Well, if you do, name it Milo. It'll kill your enemies. It's all right.
We were doing really good on the bad words for the last like 4 minutes.
Well, we really had. I mean, he had to bring up
shitting.
Yeah. And I saw the weirdest movie ever yesterday. We had to go there.
Floodgates open.
Yeah, I just had to go. That, and like I said, this is hitting. It is. I'm not going to lie.
It's excellent.
I haven't checked our stream in a while. Is anybody still watching?
No.
There they are. What are you doing?
So was it Wet Hot American Summer? Because I feel
why the hell would it be Wet Hot American Summer? It is certainly not Wet Hot American Summer. It had Toby Huss in it, too, if I remember correctly. You might remember him as Artie, the strongest man in the world. I'm sorry. I loved Pete and Pete. Let's see. I'll find it. I'll find it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the Autocalypse Food Truck Beer segment. And if you want to find out the name of this movie, you're going to have to download and listen to our podcast. Actually, I think we should put it on Patreon. If you want to find out the name of this movie, you've got to subscribe to our Patreon.
You have to earn it or know what the right thing is to Google. All right. I'm going to Google Ken Marino Ass Goblin.
Tell them what you're Googling.
No. We don't want people to find out. We're gonna,
nude.
No, don't Google that. We're gonna
wrap up the Autocalypse Food Truck Beer segment. So, Brent, you're going to have to put your phone down so that we can...
Bad Milo.
You're supposed to put it on Patreon.
Yeah.
Well, I want everybody to see Bad Milo. See? Look, there's Bad Milo right there.
Let's see.
Wow, that looks like it came out of his ass.
Yeah, see?
Oh, my God.
Which camera are we doing?
We're on the one up there.
No.
Nope, this one?
I don't fucking know.
I don't know. One of these.
Yeah, look, Google Bad Milo.
Yes. So, we're going to raise up our beers. We're going to end our beer segment the way we're supposed to, Brent.
Beers to ya.
We are back from the Autocalypse Food Truck beer segment.
We're back.
That was good beer.
Yeah, it was good beer.
I love that beer.
I'm really enjoying it.
I'm actually liking it more and more as I like finish it.
You see?
As Obi-Wan Kenobi said, you've taken your first step into a larger world.
Yeah. There it is.
No, next time we'll see him have a full beard and he'll be wearing like flannels every day.
And suspenders and high waters.
Yeah.
I got to go to like Bozkov's now or something.
Yes. Yeah. So... we want to take just a second to thank another of our sponsors, and that would be Brent.
Palermo Realty.
Palermo Brought Realty.
Brought to you by Palermo Realty.
For all your realty needs.
And I need a lot of them. I don't, yes. Actually.
So what do we always say about Palermo Realty?
You know, I like to get paid.
Yeah.
So sometimes I even get laid.
Okay.
But in order to do both of those things,
yes.
I need to get real. So you get paid, you get laid, and get real at Palermo Realty.
Palermo Realty.
Did you see they're building like a big complex in Harbor Creek?
I just say they've been sponsoring the show, and then that happens, and I mean, coincidence? Maybe not, though. Maybe not. Yeah. People are like, shit, we need a lot more housing from Palermo Realty. So we want to thank all of our listeners for clearly listening to us and renting and buying from Palermo Realty. So much, they have to expand the Palermo empire exponentially to fit the massive demand. So get in now.
Yes.
They wouldn't do it if you guys weren't giving them the money.
We're not gatekeeping Palermo. Another thing I want to talk about real quick is our Patreon. You can check out stuff that doesn't necessarily air on the show at our Patreon. It's patreon.com/idiotvillepodcast. And there's some great membership tiers there. And I can't remember the tier it is, but if you pay us enough money, we'll shout you out on the air. Or on the podcast, I guess. We're not over the air, but whatever. There's new content added weekly. We had a little snafu last week, and we couldn't add anything. But we're going to endeavor to get last week's and this week's up as soon as we can. Those usually drop on Wednesday.
Sign up, you'll get a twofer this week.
Yeah. And I just want to say, it was a snafu. It wasn't necessarily that we were abandoning it already.
Yeah,
we're committed to this. Don't worry.
Yes. So we want to talk real quick. The Erie Reader released their annual 40 under 40 list. And Jesus H. Christ, do we know a lot of people on that
list?
Yeah,
we do. We have some friends that we know outside of the show. We've had some that have been on the show. And it's just it's good to see the young people in this town that are doing great things be celebrated. And the fact that, like, in the position that we're in, you can see that and be like, oh, man, there are some snubs. We got to get them on next year. Just let you know how many young people there are in this town that are doing great things.
Anna Hartvigsen, Jake Wilder.
Yes, 100%. Michael Balco, I would say. Brandon Starocki, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
That guy.
But I want to thank some of the people, you know, congratulate some of the people that have been on the show. Anthony Morelli. That was, yeah, we had him on a little while ago. He's, yeah, does off constantly comedy. His stand-up career has been taken off. But a big reason he's being celebrated is because he's not one of those that slams the door behind him. He makes it so you too can get into your stand-up career. I have, like, one of my good friends, actually, I put him in touch with Anthony, and he has quite a little burgeoning career going on because Anthony helped him out. You know, those are the kind of people that deserve to be celebrated. And they do a lot of open mics at Randy Bilduck, which is the fourth floor of PACA. That scene's really coming around. I never thought I'd see a strong comedy scene in Erie, and we have one now, and it's in large thanks to Anthony Morelli. So congratulations to him. Chris Norris from Revox Social. You might remember him from Undercover Billionaire or times that he's spent out at that, you know, restaurant or whatever. He does a lot of stuff with you know, RJ and all that. But also his company's really taken off. He works with a lot of different businesses around here, and those of us who work in more social media oriented fields know that he also puts himself out there to help those of us that are doing the same thing.
He gives so freely.
Yeah. Like, he wants everybody else to succeed. Notice a theme with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's a guy that I know that if I have a question about social media, I can go to, and he's not going to send me an invoice.
This is not the biggest douchebags in Erie under 40. This is people who are doing
genuine good people.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brent. I'm sorry.
Yeah, another one. Nick Sorensen from BuddyCast.
BuddyCast!
Yes. As you guys know, Nick is an excellent friend of mine. I talk to him pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. He just wants to spread this message of positivity in this town.
And he's so nice that yesterday when Popluck, their thing was just like that your first name starts with an A, he messaged me, and I'm assuming everyone else on his friends list that starts with an A, to let us know it was our popcorn. That's the kind of person that he is.
I was actually supposed to be on his show this week, but that was overtaken by events. He had to go on an emergency vacation.
Yeah. I was talking to him about that. He's in New England right now. Yeah. And I hope he's enjoying himself. I really do. But yeah, we're going to be on there. I've been on his show. We're all going to be on that here soon. Good guy. He's a good friend. He doesn't just do the show and then turn it off. It's not just a brand. It's who he is. His brand is an extension of the person. And I'm a better person for knowing him, and everybody else that's friends with him would say the same. So Nick, 100% well earned. Another person I want to shout out, somebody we just can't freaking get on the schedule, and we've been working on it. Our good friend, Louis Jeremita, who owns Primo Tailoring, one of the early podcasters around here. So him and I, we've had plenty of conversations about that. I just wish, like, he's young, you know, he's like 25, 24, something like that. When I was his age, I was a massive piece of shit who added nothing to society at all, unless you were a bartender or ran the Girls Gone Wild website.
Yes.
Like, I mean, yeah, I just, I was a turd who did nothing. And just to see that kind of, like, ambition and passion from somebody that age, he just has the vision to know what he wants and goes after it while enriching his community. I respect the hell out of him, and I can't wait to get him on. I'm glad to have him as a friend. And another one, I don't usually like to tease guests, but here coming up, we're going to have Chelsea Oliver, who is, does a bunch of, like, young professional stuff down in Corey. She has a bunch going on, but you might know her because she's running against Jake Banta for the rep position down in the south part of the county. Every interaction I've had with her has been pleasant. She's thankful. She's grateful for what she's doing. She's not from around here, but she came here. She wants to give back to the community, and I'm glad that that's being recognized, and I can't wait to have her in the studio.
And another person that we're going to be having on here, I believe end of August, is Lydia Lathe.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Lathe or Lady?
I think it's Lathe.
Okay. Well, we'll ask her.
But we're going to have them. I might have to work with the schedule with that, because apparently that is around when we scheduled them was around
Oh.
The holiday. Yeah. And so we're working on some things, but we do have a thing with them. We're going to have them on. That's going to be a good one.
Absolutely.
And then other than that, a friend that has been on, Jameson Hicksonball. He's my friend. He's a good guy. Congrats, Jameson.
We'll shout him out.
JMO, then, you goofy bastard. You know I love you.
And we're going to do something that Brent's completely not going to expect from me, but we're also going to shout out a guy who was on the board here at CAM. His name is Frank Stramilla. He's instrumental in making sure that things happen at CAM. And we definitely want to shout him out because this is such a vital community resource. He does a lot more than that, but that's the big thing that we know him for. And
he also owns Randy Bilduck, so that's a cool thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then also give to CAM on Erie Gives Day. Yes. We will definitely be hassling you about that here.
Yeah. Soon. We may go live for the whole day.
Yeah. You got to give to CAM on Erie Gives. You know how much I care about people being able to come in here and make cool shit. I want you to be able to do. I want more cool shit here. I wanted, everybody to have capabilities. I want this to be better every year than it has been the year before. So please come to CAM.
Absolutely. So, and that being said, pick up the latest issue of the Erie Reader. It's free. You can get it basically anywhere. Totally worth it to read this 40 under 40. And our goal for the next year is to get two idiots on there. So we're going to
start pushing now.
We're pushing now. Come on, Wirtz.
All right. So back to the interview. Thank you for your patience with that. No every worries. Year we got to shout out our people.
One day it'll be you.
So. Yes. Yeah. We will shout the fuck out of you. Don't worry when that day comes.
Yeah. So taking a look as far as writing goes, who are your influences? We talked a little bit about Robert Kirkman and The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Who are your influences as far as your how you put this together?
I would say him, and a big one as well would be Quentin Tarantino. I love all of his movies. I love all of his work and all that. What Quentin Tarantino brings to his stuff is like it's a very unique storytelling ability, and he brings realism to his characters, and it makes you feel like it's real. You know what I mean? It feels like you're there. Yeah. You understand these characters, and in like a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie, you understand these characters from start to finish. Robert Kirkman and him, I would say, are my two big people that kind of influence my work and how I kind of go forward in making these characters come to life.
That is awesome, Brent.
The one thing I think with Tarantino is just, and it's an unmatched, massive consumption of movies and pop culture.
Yeah.
Really shapes what he does, who he is. I mean, almost like I was actually talking about this the other day, like the ability to find like Christoph Waltz and a German fucking actor nobody had ever heard of and make him the bad guy.
Yeah.
And, Inglourious Basterds. And then it's like, wow, this is one of the best bad guys I've ever seen in any movie ever. Just to have that kind of knowledge to make all that come together is unbelievable. And a lot of it comes from those influences. Do you consume a lot of those kind of products to gather that inspiration?
There's movies and all that stuff, and how he kind of takes these characters and make them who they are and all that stuff, because I've watched numerous interviews that he kind of like saved John Travolta's career basically with Pulp Fiction and all that stuff. So it's just like, with that being said, it just, he has such a specific thing of what he wants to do, and I think it's, I keep that with me kind of. I think it's just very important to have a good team around you, and I think it's very important to kind of stay humble in the approach and always take an experience from other people around you and try to make the best version of yourself and kind of take opinions in and all that stuff. And that's why, like I spoke about in the earlier, where I want a team around me. I don't want it to just be like me. I don't want just me and an artist. I want people to tell me if this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad, and I can stay on track.
And go ahead, Brent. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, first of all, a lot of his fuel comes from cocaine. And if you do as much cocaine as him, you will die. I do not want that to happen.
Yeah, no.
He's got a supernatural ability to process the cocaine through his system and just use it as a force of good.
That dude does nothing but do cocaine and watch cowboy movies from the late 60s. That is just it. That's what he does all day long. It's unbelievable. He hasn't slept in months. But I kind of want to know about the process of like making that comic. You know, it seems like there's a lot that goes into it. You had to get that first issue out. That was tough. Now you're working on the second one. And just the distribution, the writing, the getting the drawing together. Just explain everything that went into that.
But before you answer, there's a couple of different ways that comics can be created. There's a what's called a full script method. where the writer sits down and breaks it down panel by panel, puts dialogue in, gives like scene directions and stuff like that. And that was the method that was used for years and years. And then in the 60s, Stan Lee, who everybody's heard of, and Jack Kirby, who was the main artist for Marvel in the 60s, created this thing called the Marvel Method, where the writer and the artist would sit down and come up with a plot, and then the artist would draw it as best they can for what the writer wants, and then the writer goes in and dialogues everything. So there's that, and then there's the full full plot method, where you basically write a book. And so there's combinations of those, but the Marvel method is the one that got most popular. But now stuff has started to kind of revert to the full script method. So how do you and your partner take care of that?
Yeah, I do the full script thing. I write it panel to panel. Each panel, when there's dialogue, I put the dialogue in there as well. I see it more visually. So what I've kind of early on, it was I would do it. I did issue one panel to panel. I didn't script out what I wanted. I had an idea of where I wanted it to go, but I kind of just threw it out there. So it took three drafts to get the final copy, to get the final, like what you got on print right now, like third time's a charm almost. And so now what I do is I'll write out in almost book form from start to finish, like how I want this arc to be. Then I'll go, okay, now I'm going to issue 7 for example. How do I want issue 7 to be? I write it in almost like a book form. And then I break that down panel to panel with the dialogue and all that stuff. And then I send that over to the artist to illustrate it. And that's kind of how I do the whole writing process for myself. And I don't remember the second half of your question or...
Kind of just like the process, but really quick before we go to the whole process with the artist, did you have a specific image in mind and that's why you reached out to that artist, or were you kind of just...
Yeah, I had a specific image in mind. I wanted to kind of hold like a dark kind of vibe because I knew I wasn't going to be able to pay for the color for every page and all that stuff. So I was like, okay, I need to find somebody who does the black and white very well and does very good grayscale. And so what I would do is I think the hashtag on Instagram I looked up was comic book artist or comic book art, one of those two. And every day for months, I would just scroll, find something. Oh, I like that. I'm going to message him. I would do that with several artists and all that stuff. Some would just ignore me. Some would just not see it. Some would just say their prices would just be way too much. I'm like, no way. And then I found our guy now, Demetrius Nassos, he's just a go-getter from the gate. I knew from the beginning that this was going to be the guy because I liked his art. He didn't have much on his page. I could just tell he had that like kind of unique kind of like thing that I was kind of thinking of. And right out of the gate, he was all for it right in the beginning of the messaging each other back and forth. And he gave me a sample page. He gave me I told him what I kind of wanted and all that stuff. I described like the one of the main characters and all that stuff. So he gave me a sample page, which is actually on our Patreon right now. So you can kind of see that's all the behind the scenes stuff. So I love the sample page. He did a phenomenal job with that. So we kept going. I drafted up a contract for him and we just went gung ho. And that's how that started.
Nice. So then, Brent, I mean, you just kind of want to know more about like, where does it go from there? Like,
Yeah. But I also kind of have a question. So you have a Kickstarter going on. I definitely want people to go there.
Yeah.
So what kind of, how does this help get this launched, the second one? How much money is involved in making your own comic?
A lot, especially now with the prices of paper going up and all that stuff. It's getting more and more difficult price-wise. So issue one, when we did a Kickstarter, we asked for only $1,200. We ended up getting $1,700. We weren't even public. We were mostly promoting it to friends and family. We weren't really out there in public and all that stuff. So issue two, we're public. You know, we're doing the interviews. That's why I'm here today and all that stuff. So we're kind of like we're public and we're going to events, we're talking to people and all that stuff and getting to know people. So we asked for $2,000 this time for two different reasons. Was one is because now we're public, and number two is the prices have went up. So that all that Kickstarter fund money is going to be going to the printing, the bulk printing right away. The second would be promoting our page and our title and all that stuff, and just trying to get out to like events like how we're going to Erie Comic Con and all that stuff as well. And we're trying to, this upcoming year, we're really going to try and get Cleveland, Pittsburgh and New York and like Buffalo, expand our radius a little bit more. Although we are expanding our radius in other, you know, cities whenever they grab it and we kind of get some noise from them, we'll kind of hit them too. But it just, the surrounding cities where we could personally go to with this kind of money and all that stuff. So we can make $2,000 work. And I don't think it's much to ask for. Granted, all the other people I've seen are trying to ask like $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, which is crazy to me, but $2,000 we can make work.
So where are you on Twitter?
On Twitter, our handle or at is 1282 Avalon Comic.
1282. Now, is that the numbers or?
Yeah, the number 1282 and then Avalon Comic. It's all spelled out like that. No spaces, obviously, or underscore.
Well, you just scored a follow, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually going to tweet out the Kickstarter. Because we want you to succeed. Yeah, I mean, this is awesome. And you can check out that, tweet by giving me a follow at idiotville_dill on Twitter.
You absolutely can.
Yeah, you just need to log into Twitter. I haven't been on here.
You need to get on there more.
You need to be on Twitter.
And you're like, we weren't on it. We didn't get it. I'm like, well, then I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I've never been a Twitter guy. So it's kind of like, the whole thing is kind of like weird to me because this last year has been a lot of learning experiences for me. I've never been like a social media person as it is. And so learning all this stuff when we released in March of this year, issue one, it's kind of like a whole learning curve and every day is a new day. And it's kind of, honestly, this is kind of taken away from the creation part. I'm so glad that we got 7-8 issues in. So the artist is currently working on 3 right now. So I'm glad we have that kind of leeway right now because I'm learning the whole marketing and talking and trying to get our face out there and trying to learn the whole Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, like, because it's all different. You know, it's the same, but different.
Being like a working creator in any mm-hmm. capacity, you start to realize, like, so I'm a photographer. And,
right. Okay.
You know, it's like if you run a photography business, it's like 20% photography.
Yeah,
like
right.
80%
yeah.
Everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to just keep talking and being out there and showing people you're here and showing off your product and all that stuff. It's kind of like a new thing to us. And that's what we've been learning the last, like, not even year. It's been like 6 months or something like that. So,
all right. So, as we go into the wrap up for the show, there's something that we're starting, and you're kind of our guinea pig on this. It's the Idiotville questions.
Okay.
And we're going to ask you some questions, and we want your, the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay. And we don't,
I will shout you down if you're wrong.
No explanations, just your answers. You ready?
So, like, yes or no?
No, it's actually going to be like a
open-ended.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So, what is the best sandwich?
A turkey sandwich. I don't know. I can't think about it. You said
that's okay. A bullshit
answer.
There's
no answer. Wrong answer.
Okay,
there's
okay.
No answer. They're apparent. I thought so too, but you said turkey sandwich. So.
What's what's one thing you own that you really should throw out?
Jeez, I don't know.
You're a hoarder. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I am. I literally, my room is a mess. My garbage.
There you go.
Literally, my garbage. It's full.
All right. You're going to the peninsula. What beach do you go to?
Beach 11.
All right. Start bench cut. Smith's hot dogs, pepperoni balls, sponge candy.
Probably pepperoni balls.
Okay. Which one do you start? Which one do you bench? Yeah. And which one do you cut?
Oh, I probably cut the sponge candy. Okay. I would start the pepperoni ball and then bench the hot dog.
Okay. All right. Who was the last person you asked for an autograph?
Probably my co-writer.
Okay. Awesome. What is your least favorite smell?
Shit.
Okay. Like actual
poop. Like actual shit. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Right. It's a foul smell. I'm not.
It's awful. Yeah. Like baby shit. You know, the worst smell ever.
Yes. What is the most used app on your phone?
Honestly, probably right now, Facebook.
Okay. You get to listen to one song for the rest of your life and only that one song. What is it?
That one's hard. I don't even know any songs off the top of my head right now.
Okay. Well, the answer to that question is Careless Whisper.
Yeah.
We'll just do that one. Yeah. Because I'm, yeah.
All right.
I can't say because
I'm gonna pick one.
I know.
You have to. Like, you can only hear one song. You don't have to listen to it all the time. It's not like it's like constant elevator music, but whenever you listen to music, it's the only thing you can listen
to.
That,
yeah, that's why I chose Outside by Stained and Fred Durst, because I couldn't pick between like Stained or Limp Bizkit. So they were together. So that was probably the best
cheated.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
two. Well, no, because I needed both. I knew what I was doing.
All right. How many pennies do you think you could fit in this room?
Pennies. 100,000.
Okay. And the most annoying local fan base: Browns fans, Steelers fans, or Bills fans?
I'm not gonna go with the stereotypical Steelers. I'm gonna go with the Bills, just because recently the Bills fans have been stupid.
Okay, like annoying as shit because they're good.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
So we have one last thing that we're gonna do with you before we go, and that's gonna be Brent always wraps up with a couple of things that he wants to make sure that you get out there.
Okay.
So the first comic that you did. We want episode one. We want number one, because we're going to frame it. We're going to put it up. And someday we're going to sell it after you're super famous for millions of dollars. Where would we find that?
Currently, we would love if you guys just went on the Kickstarter. There's a catch-up tier for people. You can get issue one and two for $15. After the Kickstarter is done, we have a Shopify that we're selling issue one on as well, which is avaloncomic.myshopify.com, where you can also buy issue one.
Awesome.
And then finally, we already went over your Kickstarter. We went over Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Where can we find you?
Avalon Comic is the name on both of those. If you find us on any social media platform, you can find a link tree that actually has all of our links on there: Redbubble, Patreon, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that stuff as well.
And I do actually have one last question.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Bro. Your hat's awesome. Where can I buy it?
You can't.
If
you can't buy it right now, if I get a big crowd to kind of like want it, I was definitely going to make some. I was thinking about it here and there, but it wasn't something that we ended up gave a green light to yet.
Oh, see, so that's an exclusive.
Yeah.
Man, you're going to sell that hat someday for a ton.
You're going to have all three of you sign it, and then you're going to put it up on eBay.
Yep, and my hair is still going to be in it because it's falling out each day, so it's just all going to be in
there. I know all about that.
Yeah, hey, that's okay. That's going to add to the value
of
this.
Yeah.
So buy low. Go on their Kickstarter, get those first two, maybe someday get that hat. It's going to be worth something, and before it's worth something, it's going to entertain the shit out of you. So we want to thank Brandon Starocki for coming.
Thank you for having me, guys. This is awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much. So that's going to do it for Idiotville 211.
Wish it was 311 so we could sing that shitty song that they sing.
Just wait 100 weeks.
Yeah, and then amber will be the color of our energy or whatever the fuck it was.
I got nothing. So for Anna Hartvigsen.
Thanks, guys.
For Brent and Liberty.
Amber is the color of your energy.
I am Dill Spears, and we will see you in hell.
The Idiotville team would like to thank Community Access Media, the Autocalypse Food Truck, Palermo Realty, our Patreon subscribers, and all of our listeners for their support and contributions. We love you, Erie.